This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
You deserve my praise. You deserve the glory, the honor. All belongs to you. Father, we come and surrender to you. We thank you for your love and kindness, your tender mercy, your grace, your peace, your joy. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that destroys every yoke, every burden that I might have. We thank you that you're a burden bearer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Come on, talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for starting us on our way. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not offended or offensive, Lord, but I'm walking in the peace of God because I made peace with God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord God, for the joy of the Lord is my strength on this morning. I thank you, God. Come on, talk to the Lord. Tell him what you're thanking for and what he means to you, what he means to you. Father, you mean the world to me. You mean everything to me. Knowing you is more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compare to you. Father, I lift you. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. You're worthy. You're worthy of all the glory. You're worthy of all the praise. I magnify your holy name. I come before your presence with singing. I come with a good attitude and gladness and joy. I thank you, Lord God. In spite of my trouble, I still have joy. In spite of what I've been through, I still have joy. And I thank you for it. I thank you, God, that you've sustained me, that you've kept me, that you've blessed me, that you've made me consistent in my worship, that even though I have some trials and some tribulation, I still come to say thank you, Lord. I still come to lift your name. I still come to praise you because you're more than worthy to be praised. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. We thank you, Lord God, for being good to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Your name is a strong tower and the righteous run to it. And we are saved. Father, your name is giving us power that you lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we thank you, Lord, and we testify by the lifting of our hand, the lifting of my right hand, that you're good and you're good all the time, that you're better than good. You're great, you're awesome, you're magnificent, you're mighty, you're marvelous, you're excellent. Oh God, you're superb, you're everything I need. You're my all in all. You're my friend when I'm friendless, mother when I'm motherless. You're everything I need. You're my companion, my confidant. You're all I need, God. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I worship you, God. I worship you. There's none like you. There's nobody like you. Oh, God, even if we searched everywhere, we couldn't find one that's like you. Nobody can do us like you. Nobody. Can't nobody do us like you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for washing away by the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you for not remembering our faults and failures and frailties anymore. But Lord God, today in a new morning, you've given us new mercies, and we thank you, God. You woke us up to arise to new mercies, Father. I thank you, God, that you've helped me to let go and let you have your way in my life. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for taking my baggage when I couldn't carry it anymore. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, God, for taking all my disappointments, all of my pains, and nailing them to the cross. I thank you for nailing my sicknesses to the cross. I thank you, oh God, and I give you glory now. I give you praise and magnify your name. Oh, you're awesome, God. Oh, you're awesome, God. You're so magnificent. Oh, God. Oh, God, you're so incredible. You're incredible. And I thank you, God. Oh, you're awesome, God. And I love you, God. I love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you. I love you. I love you. I can't tell you how much I love you, God. If words can't express because you first love me, because you love me with everlasting love. You love me without any reserves. You love me unconditionally. And I thank you, God, for it. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, your peace, and your power. We thank you for each person that is in this building on today. And Father, we ask that you would touch them in their spirit and in their soul, that they might find peace with you. And Father, that they would operate in joy, that they would live in joy. And Father, we pray that you would just lift us to a place in your kingdom where the enemy can do us no harm. Father, we thank you right now for this moment, the moment of preaching. We ask that you would give a stamp of approval upon your word through my mouth, these lips of clay. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech, that I be in tune with your spirit, and as I speak, your spirit speaks through me, that your people will hear by the spirit and receive with joy by the spirit of God. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, that you've made my tongue the pen of a ready writer, and the hearts of the hearers will be the tablet in which we shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that will bring healing, deliverance, salvation, power, peace, and prosperity to those that hear and believe. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, that you've blessed us beyond measure. Father, that you're going to continue on because you're faithful. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, for this moment in time that is special to us because we feel your presence. And we know that you manifested yourself among us. And Father, after you've done what you wanted to do in this service, we'll be careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, the chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Have your way. Amen. The topic is the power of consistent worship. Amen. We cannot stop worshiping God because the enemy is consistently after us. We cannot stop. We have to be consistent in our worship, because if we're not consistent in our worship, the enemy can take an opportunity when we're not in God's presence, when we're not in God's faith. He can come in and try to wipe us out. But when you're in God's presence, you understand that no weapon formed against you will what? Prosper. Amen. Let me go on and get through here, because I think getting a bit long on this. Moses in verse number eight says, Amalekite came and they fought against Israel at Rephidim, the place where they should have been refreshed. They were being attacked, and what happened here? What really happened is that the people who were in the back of the 2 million people line, long people, they were in the back, amen. And these were the people who were a little older, the people who were women and children, the people who were not warriors. They were in the back, and Amalekites came and they went to the back of the line and they attacked them from behind, because they knew that that's where the weak stragglers would be. And they destroyed them and they killed them, which was wrong, because Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And all that these children of Israel were trying to do was get back to the promised land, which the Amalekites knew that this was their land, because they had to get the understanding from Esau and from his son that their cousins are going to come back one day and possess the land. Isn't it something how people that should be related to you in some type of way, whether it's blood related or friendship related, how sometimes they will attack you from the back door? Lord have mercy. They will come around the back and try to do something conniving and just dirty, something that they know. They have knowledge of who you are. They have knowledge of the mission, and they still try to down you on the backside. But look at this. The Bible says when Moses found out in verse 9, it says, Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, when we look at this, he says the rod of God in my hand. The rod of God represented the power of God. It represented the presence of God, because that's what Moses used. Moses, what is in your hand? Moses said, I can't do anything. Moses, what is in your hand? He said, I got a rod, the rod that you gave me from the first day you called me to this. And so what he said, well, use the rod. And the rod opened up the Red Sea. Better yet, when we go back to Pharaoh's palace, the rod is what Moses used to smite the water and turn it into, you know, to do the plagues. He used the rod that when Pharaoh's magicians and all their knowledge dropped their rod and it turned to a snake, Moses' rod turned into a king snake and swallowed theirs up. Amen. And when Moses put his hand on the rod, it went back to being a rod. Do you know that this rod represented the power and the presence of God? And so Moses said, I'm going to go to the top of the hill with the power and presence of God, and I'm going to pray while you fight. Come on and say amen. See, some of us got to know something. We got to understand. Some of us are going to have to fight, but others, we're going to have to pray. Come on and say hallelujah. And so if we're in a battle, we need to know our position. You can't do everything I'm doing. If all of us are on the hill, who's going to fight? If all of us are in the valley, who's going to pray? I wish I had somebody. We need to know our role, know your position. And when you get there, stay in your position. Stay in your role. Come on and say amen here. And so as they were preparing for battle, Joshua had to choose men. Joshua had to choose people that he trusted that could fight with him, that he knew was not afraid, that he knew could do this battle. I wish I had somebody. See, everybody's not able to battle. Some people are just not built to battle. Some people are just built to watch. And I hope you're not some of those people that's built to watch, because I need some people with me that's ready to battle. Because don't you know that the enemy's out to steal, kill, and to destroy? He's out. The Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody that's ready to lift God while he lift us? Come on and say amen. I need some people that say, I'm not here to watch, Pastor. I'm here to fight. I'm not a spectator. I'm not just going to slide in on the pew and come and get a Sunday worship and then go home. I'm going to come here and I'm going to intercede for some people. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to lift him up, because I know that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. Do I have anybody in here? Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I need some people with me that say, I came to fight. I didn't come. The Bible tells us, Paul says, that we have to fight the good fight of faith. He said, war, a good warfare. We think that this life is supposed to be a birthday party every day. It's not going to be a birthday party every day. It should be a war party every day. We ought to be crying out, Lord, I thank you I got victory this morning. Not because I made it to 44 or 45 years old, but because the enemy tried to destroy me at 38, but I'm still here. And oh Lord, have mercy here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I know I've been in a battle, but the battle wasn't mine, it was the Lord's, and all I did was climb the hill and lifting up the power of God. Lord, have mercy up in this place today. He says this. He says that Moses said, I'm going to the hill and I'm going to take the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said unto him. Some of you Joshuas need to do what Moses says do. Amen. Some of you Joshuas need to obey what God wants you to do. Amen. He said, choose our men. And he did. And he went and he fought, the Bible says in verse 10, against Amalek. And in verse 10 it says, Moses took Aaron and Hur, went up the hill with him. He took two men with him. He took Aaron and Hur. Aaron represents the priesthood. Amen. He represents the priesthood, and he took them up to the mountain with him. Amen. And as he went up to the mountain, he took not only Aaron, but he took Hur. Amen. He took Hur because Hur represents those who will support God, support the man of God no matter what. Hur went up to the mountain with Aaron and Moses, and the Bible says that every time Moses lifted up his hand, and notice, I want you to notice something. When Moses lifted up his hand, he said, I got the rod of God in my hand. And I know preachers have taught it, and they said that Moses lifted his hands like this, but that's not how it happened. That's not what he did. He had a rod in his hand, and he had the rod of God up in the air, and he held it as long as he could, and his hands begin to get tired, because was the rod of God. When the people saw the rod of God, they said, that's the rod that got us deliverance. That's the rod that we have to see that got us deliverance from Egypt, that gave us what we need. I wish I had somebody. That's the rod that leads us, that no matter what we go through, that's the rod that keeps us going. Amen? And so what we got to understand is that when the rod was lifted up, that was Moses' way of saying, God, I'm in your face here. I'm here not only to pray to you, but I'm here to worship you, because now I know how this thing works. Moses said, because you said we get the promised land, so we can't lose right here. So I just came up this hill to say thank you, preach. I just came up this hill and say, I appreciate what you gave us. I just came up this hill to say, I appreciate the victory. I appreciate the anointing. I appreciate the power that you've given me. I wish I had somebody. And while Moses was thanking God for everything that he had done, while he was up there worshiping, his hands began to get heavy. But Moses said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh getting a little weak, but I need some help. Moses knew that I'm going to need some help. The Bible says, look, he took Aaron and Hur. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in them. He said, if I can just get a couple of folks that don't mind getting with me, and let's have some church. If I can get two on this side and one on this side, I believe we can have some church. He said, I'm going up the hill, and we're going to have church on top of the hill, but you fight down in the valley. So somebody in here need to see that if you in the valley, you just go ahead and fight. Let me climb this hill. Will you climb with me? And let's go up here and worship God. And while we keep our hands lifted, while we keep building him up, while we keep the presence of God on the high, I wish I had somebody. He said, the Bible says that when he lifted his hands, that Israel prevailed. But when his hands got weak, then Amalek prevailed. But then there was two men that had a good idea. I don't know which one of them had it. They said, let me go and find a rock. And they took this rock. Come on and say amen. They took this stone. The stone represents support. The stone represents rest and security. The stone represents foundation. They pushed this stone underneath Moses so that he could have somewhere to rest, somewhere to sit while he hold his hand up. But yet, it had to be high enough for the people in the valley to be able to see that he's still holding up the rod of God. I wish I had somebody. And so when they pushed this rock up under Moses, do you know who the rock was? The rock was Jesus Christ. He is my support. He is my foundation. He is my rest. He is my security. I wish I had a few people in here that whenever it seemed like you get a little tired, you need to just rest on the rock. Tell somebody, say, rest on the rock. Who is that rock? He's Jesus Christ. Moses said, I'm going to sit right here until the victory is won. I wish I had a few people that said, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to let God have his way. I'm just going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to keep praising God. No matter what happens, I'm going to stay right here. Come on and say amen. The Bible says, and Moses' hands were heavy, but they took the stone in verse 12, put under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed his hands, and the one on one side and the other on the other, and his hands were steady. I like that word, steady. See, what we got a problem with is being steady. In other words, being consistent. We can't be consistent and worship God. We let everything that we feel guide us. Pastor, I feel this and I feel that, but I'm going to steady worship God. I don't care what I feel. I feel sad, but I'm worshiping God. I feel happy, I'm still worshiping God. I might feel angry, but in my zeal for God, I'm going to worship him. I wish I had a few people. Yeah, I had some people talk about me, lie on me. I got the devil chomping at me right now. But you think I'm not going to worship God? Yes, I'm going to worship God, because he's the only one that can keep me sane. He's the only one that can keep me from doing something I wouldn't want to be doing. I wish I had somebody. So I must get in God's face. And because I get in God's face and he's before me, it'll keep me from doing stuff I shouldn't be doing and focusing on what I shouldn't be focusing on. And I'll keep my eye on the prize and forget those things which are behind and reach toward those things that are before me and press. Anybody pressing in here today? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call. Do I have a witness? He said that his hands were steady. Anybody know what it means to be steady? That means his hand didn't get weak then. His hand didn't go down because he had a support. He had somebody to support him. He had somebody to hold his hands up. And you know what? I thought about this. I said, well, why in the world didn't Aaron and her hands get tired? Because you know what? Moses had started out lifting it up, and they stood there and watched and said, we don't even know why we're here. But then when they found out that we got a reason to be here, do you know that you got to find your reason for being here? Do you know you got to find why God got you in a place around a certain amount of people so that you could be a support and a help to them? I wish I had somebody. I posted something on Facebook the other day. I exist to assist. That's what I'm here for. I exist to assist you to get what God wants you to be. I exist to assist you to be able to overcome things that you thought you couldn't overcome. So what my job is not to be selfish and get it all done for myself, but I got to show you how to do it. I got to pray for you so that you not faint. I got to pray. Jesus told Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail. I wish I had a few people in here today that say, thank you, Pastor, because you prayed for me. I would have fainted, but you prayed for me. I would have given up, but you prayed for me. I would have thrown in the towel, but you prayed for me. It was just that one prayer. You know what? I'm so glad that I'm amongst people that I ain't got to be in your face every day, but I'm in God's face every day telling the Lord, thank you for them. Lord, thank you. Bless their life. Help their children. Open up doors for them. I'm thankful for that. Amen. All glory be to God. But the Bible said that they were all day, from the rising up until the going down of the sun, he worshiped God all day long. And we can't come in here an hour and worship. We're ready to go right now. We can't come in here for 15 minutes. If we play a song a little bit too long, we're looking at the clock. I gotta go. I got stuff to do. Well, guess what? You can go ahead on and do it, because I'm gonna worship God in spite of. I'm gonna worship God in spite of what you do, in spite of what the devil does. I'm gonna lift my hands and say, Lord, here's the power of God, and I'm gonna keep lifting it up, because all power belongs to you. All glory belongs to you. Come on and say amen here. And the Bible says here's a result of what happened because Moses was in the face of God. Moses said, I'm going to talk to God. You know what really is a blessing when I read that is to realize that the people trusted Moses enough to know that Moses could get a prayer through. Come on and say amen. They trusted Moses enough and they loved Moses enough to they believe and they saw enough miracles that they said, you know what? If anybody got a man of God on their side, we got one. Amen. I wish Living Word could say that someday. Amen. But the Bible says that they had confidence in Moses. So Joshua and the men went out to fight because they were confident as long as Moses was up on the hill and they could see their man of God, hands lifted, they knew that they had victory. Preach. Oh, come on and say amen here. As long as you can see the hand lifted, you ought to be able to say, Lord, I thank you because we got this victory. And verse 13 said, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write for a memorial in a book. We need to write it and rehearse it. When the Lord gives us victory, we need to learn how to rehearse it. We need to learn how to repeat it. We need to learn how to say it again. I wish I had somebody. He said, and he's going to put Amalek from the remembrance under the heaven. So do we even know what the Amalekites are now? We don't know because God has destroyed them. Come on and say amen. And Moses, look at what Moses did after he worshiped God all day long and they fought all day long. The Bible says Moses built an altar and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. I wish I had a few people in here today. See, the Hebrew language is a very definitive, descriptive language, and it describes who God is. That's why he said, you're Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord God, our peace. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. Come on and say amen. But this time he called him Jehovah Nissi because the Lord has sworn that he'll make war with Amalek. In other words, Jehovah Nissi, when we start talking about Jehovah Nissi, it's the Lord, our banner. In other words, when I see God's flag flying, when I see God, oh, come on and say amen. When I see him high and lifted up, I know that I got victory. Even though I may be in a battle, I know I can still see his flag. I know I can still see the banner of the Lord giving me the victory. Come on and say amen in here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I've been in a battle for a long time, but I still can see the bloodstained banner flying in my life? Come on and say hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. There's some of us in this house today that we need to say we have Jehovah Nissi. Nisi on our side, because he is the Lord our banner. And when he's our banner, that means that he's lifted up so high that the enemy can't get him down. You know what it means to have a banner? It's like in the military, when each unit has a banner to represent who they are. And if you're fighting, you don't let that flag fall. You keep that flag lifted up. And as we battle this devil that we've been battling, we need to make sure we keep the Lord lifted up. We need to make sure that we keep rising up to say, Lord, you live. Oh, Lord, you live, and you're awesome, God. Oh, come on and say amen. Because people serve dead gods. They serve stuff that can't help them. But I serve a God who's alive and well. I serve the only true living God. I wish I had somebody. He's not somebody I got to carry. He's the one that carries me. He's not something I have to make. He's the one that makes me. He's not something that I got to wake up and feed. He's the one that wakes me up and feed. Lord, have mercy up in here. I'm talking about a real God. I'm talking about somebody that when I talk to him, he talks back to me. I'm talking about somebody when I feel alone, he said, you're never alone, because I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Do you know this God I'm talking about? His son, and by the way, is named Jesus. His son is the rock of ages. His son is the one who died for us. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the one, not Mary's baby. Now, he's a grown man now. Amen. He ain't no baby no more. No, he's our savior. He's our king. I wish I had somebody. I know we say Mary's baby, but guess what? He ain't a baby, because he looked down on the cross and he said, John, take care of my mama. Mama, I gotta go to my father, but I'm gonna come back one of these days. I wish I had somebody up in this house that said, thank God for a grown Jesus. Oh, he ain't lying in a manger no more, but he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for me, because I know I can't do right all the time, but he's making intercession for me, because I realize I'm in a battle all the time. And if I can just see his banner flying, do anybody want to lift up your head? That's why he said, lift up your head, all ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Come on and shout amen here. Is the Lord mighty in your life? That's why he said he'll be the lifter of your head. Because sometime in a battle, we get to holding our head down. But God lifts our head. And he lifts our head. And he tells us, lift up your head unto the hills. For whence cometh your help? For your help come from the Lord. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to worship God? I'm going to do it consistently. I'm not going to worship when things are good. I'm going to worship when things are bad. I'm going to worship all the time. I'm going to keep lifting my hands. You may not like it, but God loves it. So I'm here to please God. I'm here to raise him up. Do you want to raise your praise? Can I get a few people in the house that say, I'm going to raise my praise. I'm going to let the Lord know that he's my God. I'm going to let the Lord know that he's awesome. I feel like David now. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do I have any tasters today? Anybody want to see these good? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Do I have a few people that say, I want to lift him? Come on and shout yes. Why do you want to lift him? Because he came down through 39 prophets, 40 in two generations. He took up an old rugged cross. They put nails in his hands and feet. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. Dropped him in a hole. And there he died. And he took him off the cross. Put him in a borrowed tomb. But he didn't stay in the tomb. Because early. Somebody say early. Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Somebody say power. Say power. Wonder-working power. Say power. Healing power. Say power. Say power. Holy Ghost power. Somebody say yes. Do I have any consistent worshipers that say, come hell or high water, I'm going to worship God? You can talk about me as much as you please, but I'm going to worship. You can turn your nose up, but I'm going to turn my praise up. Come on and shout it out. Shout yeah! Shout glory! Shout glory! I know he's all right. I say, is he all right?